In part one, we talked about Spanish inattention to infrastructure and transportation in the New World. In part two, we're going to talk about Mexico more specifically. Spain introduced an extremely restricted road system in Mexico. Trade between Mexico and Spain was limited to two ports, Veracruz in Mexico and Sevilla, Spain. In theory, a convoy came once a year to bring goods and take back the silver. By the late colonial period, this happened less and less, though. Spain became more interested in transportation when a very rich silver mining area was discovered, stretched over some 400 miles, mainly to the north of Mexico City. Silver needed to be transported from these mines to Mexico City to be minted. In order to do so, they needed transport heavy or bulky supplies, including salt, mercury, lead, firewood, and mine timbers, and carry as return cargoes silver, sugar, and other products of the interior. In addition, the cargo needed to be protected from Indian raids, particularly from the fierce Chichimeca tribes in the northern part of the country. So in response, Mexico developed what is referred to as a carro, which was a large cart pulled by up to 16 mules. Mines were located on a relatively flat plateau, so the officials could build a road accessible to wheeled vehicles. The colonial government was anxious to fuel the expansion of silver mining. To do so, they helped in several ways. First, they helped pay for the roads. They also ordered all towns in the region to provide mules with free grazing so that animal transport was relatively cheap. They also helped to provide security by building forts along the routes and providing military escort of silver shipments. In the late 17th century, the government lost much of its enthusiasm for the construction and maintenance of roads, and by that point, almost all transport went on the back of mules, and the carro was only used within large estates. The road linking Mexico City to the northern mining towns was called El Camino Real, or the King's Highway. It stretched from Mexico City all the way up to what is now northern New Mexico. On this map, I want to point out two important ports during the colonial period. One is Veracruz, and the other is Acapulco. We're going to talk about them in the upcoming slides, but I want to point out here that besides El Camino Real, there were two important roads in the colonial period. One went from Mexico City to Veracruz, and the other went from Mexico City to Acapulco. Veracruz was the only legal port on the Atlantic side of Mexico that was allowed to engage in international trade with Spain. Given that, you would think that the port was of good quality, and that the road linking Veracruz and Mexico City was also well-maintained and efficient. Unfortunately, neither of those were true. The influential German geographer Alexander von Humboldt went to Spanish America in the opening years of the 19th century on a commission from the Spanish king to gather information about the region. He remarked, "The port is a bad anchorage among sandbanks." Likewise, in 1822, Joel Roberts Poinsett notes, "The port is very insecure. It is not only open to this wind, no vessel is considered secure unless made fast to rings fixed in the castle wall." On top of that, the castle wall to which he refers was on a fort well out in the port. So if Veracruz wasn't such a great natural port, why did the Spanish choose it? J.H. Perry argued in 1982 that originally Cortes seems to have landed at Veracruz almost by chance, and that he never returned to the East Coast to find any better port. His original aim was to find passage to the Pacific, and once the Valley of Mexico was secure, Cortes renewed his quest for a strait between the oceans or for harbors which could become bases for Pacific exploration. The road from Veracruz to Mexico City was, if anything, worse than the port itself. The road had to go over two mountain ranges to reach Veracruz, and the second was particularly steep. Humboldt again called it frequently nothing but a narrow and crooked path, one of the most difficult in all America. David Ringrose in 1970 characterized it as a perilous mule track. The road to the Pacific from Mexico City was, if anything, even more difficult. When the king opened trade with Asia in 1564, he ordered the construction of a new route between Mexico City and Acapulco. Until then, the colonial authorities had used Huatulco, a port 500 kilometers south of Acapulco. A pre-Columbian trail had linked it to the city of Oaxaca and then onward into Mexico City. Unlike his negative characterization of Veracruz, Humboldt had positive things to say about Acapulco, calling it one of the finest ports in the known world and only 280 miles from Mexico City. On the other hand, the road was relatively perilous. Travel to Mexico City took about a month's time. An important bridge constructed in 1574 reduced travel to 6 to 10 days. The trail still proved problematic. It wasn't suitable for wheeled transport until 1927. There was also no effort by colonial authorities to develop multiple ports. Seems like it would have been natural for Huatulco to focus on trade with South America, but this did not happen, in large part because the authorities did not want Mexico trading with South America. In 2008, my co-author Jerry Huff and I investigate some of the motivation for why Spain paid so little attention to transportation in the New World. We argue that there are several reasons for Spain's highly restrictive transportation policy in Mexico. The insistence on a single route from the mines to Mexico City to one of the two ports, Acapulco or Veracruz, reflected a fear that silver would be hidden from the tax collector and smuggled to various places outside of Spain. The low quality of the roads to the coast is more difficult to explain. A path was generally enough for mules carrying silver, which was heavy but relatively small in volume, but it obviously restricted trade in other goods. Possibly Madrid was trying to make invasion of the heartland more difficult. In addition, the Mexico City Merchant Guild, the Consulado, may have feared competition. Since the Consulado merchants were de facto customs collectors, the king may have been glad to support them against less official merchants who didn't play this role. In the end, the limitation on the number of ports didn't end smuggling. The Yucatan Peninsula supplied Mexico with many products, and its port Campeche was often used by smugglers. Similarly, the prohibition of trade with South America was poorly enforced. By all reports, a significant amount of unminted silver flowed from South America through Mexico to Philippines and China for the purchase of Chinese goods. Some scholars estimate that in some decades of the 1600s, as much as 40% of Spanish-American silver was not registered with the tax authorities.